Interference is a false belief. Mind is the only power. There cannot be action without the foundation for it. Creative ability, capacity, capability, ingenuity. These are thoughts that contribute to performance, which yields power. Also functionality and facility. There cannot be any interference. There is not, and there never could be, never will be. Of course, the only time is now, and here is the only place. Nothing has the capability to dilute the focus, because God is the source of the focus. God is truth. A lie cannot have any substance. Truth is the only substance, and that's the substance of spirit, which is flawless. There is no matter. Matter is the opposite of spirit, and spirit is the truth of all substance. Spirit is the substance of mind, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There's nothing that can compete with spirit as a substance, because anything that is unlike spirit is only a misunderstanding. It's an absence of realizing the truth about substance. Principle is the system and structure of all existence. Structure means that there is no chaos. There can't be any chaos when there's structure, because structure is balanced, it's harmonious, it is organization. Mind is all intelligence. How could all intelligence be chaotic or disorganized? That wouldn't be intelligence. That would be the absence of intelligence. There is no age, because spirit is flawless. Age indicates that there are flaws involved, deterioration, that something is maxed out, capability is maxed out, or capacity. But how could that be, since the substance of intelligence is spirit? There is no matter. There is no maxing out, because spirit is infinite, mind is infinite, soul is how we identify things. That is identity, and that identifies the spiritual nature. And there is no other nature of anything. Life is the reality. Delay is unreal. Delay only means there's an absence in realizing that life is continuous without interruption. Activity cannot be interrupted, because activity is life. Life is truth. Life is love. Life is loving the qualities of God. It's expressing them. Life is the facility, the tool through which God's qualities are expressed. You cannot express God's qualities unless you're active. You can't fail to be active because life is continuous without interruption. Intelligence is without interruption. It's not intelligent to be lifeless because that's not expressing God. God requires expression. Mary Baker Eddy, in her letter to a student on vision, asked the simple question, can you focus no matter what comes your way? We don't have to worry about being able to focus because God is the only source of anything. He's not a source of a problem. So a problem is only a misunderstanding of the truth. It's a misunderstanding of God expressing himself through life. Filtering is the key. We must filter everything that comes to thought. If the focus is on God, which is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then there is not a possibility of their missing the mark. You cannot be distracted, cannot be diverted. If you focus on the truth about God, the truth about man. God expresses himself through man. Instead of having time off for good behavior, we have rewards. We receive the benefits. Just like the three quotes at the beginning of Science and Health. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Oh, I am blessed. We are blessed when we control the thoughts that we entertain and realize that the truth makes us free. And in order to experience the truth, we have to let it. We have to know the truth. We have to know what the truth is. And we do that by knowing what God is. This has all been given to us on a silver platter. Mary Baker Eddy didn't have the silver platter. Jesus didn't have the silver platter. He spent up until age 30 learning what God is, practicing healing, practicing the facts about God. The first thing that happened when he went out into his ministry is he had to put himself under the stress of circumstances. So he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. 40 is apparently a number that's commonly used in the Bible for a period of hardship, difficulty, or suffering. So being without food for 40 days, 40 nights, offering food would be naturally one of the first temptations. And the belief of the devil said to him, since you are the Son of God, why starve yourself to death? Come on, just change some stones into bread. But Jesus' response was that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what is God saying out of his mouth? The truth. The truth about God, what God himself is, and what man is. What does he say in Genesis 1? God created man in his image and likeness. But it says we have to let. And if we don't let it in our consciousness, we're not going to benefit from the truth. If we're under the stress of circumstance, that means that we're not letting the truth in. We are accepting the lie of what is presented to us as a false view of the truth. We think there's a lack of food, a lack of sustenance. And what did Jesus do when he was with his disciples? He broke the bread. In other words, he explained what the truth was about. Jesus didn't argue with the belief of the devil. He just told the truth. He said that man lives from what comes out of the mouth of God, the word, the truth, the facts. And that doesn't mean absence. It doesn't mean lack. It doesn't mean pain or sorrow. Since Jesus showed the invalidity of the first temptation of being real, then the temptation came to test God. And apparently, it was a distance of some 500-foot drop from the highest point where he was for him to jump off. I think one could relate that to ego. Suppose one became so successful that they think they're on top of the world and they can do anything. Well, it wouldn't take long to become pretty humble if you jumped off a cliff 500 feet. I think you'd probably forget about your ego problem. But Jesus didn't yield to that. He didn't argue. He just stated the fact. You cannot tempt God. You don't need to test God. You need to test yourself. Are you going to focus? If we're going to wander off the path of truth, if we're going to get away from the facts about God and think that it's your own personality that is so great, then you're going to fall. Because you're depending on opinion instead of facts. Opinion is personality. It's a dead-end street with a brick wall at the end. So, the series of temptations goes one more final enticement. And that is for control over others, control over the world. materiality at its most comprehensive point. The temptation was the promise of controlling the world, owning everything. But Jesus knew that he had to look to only spirit, not matter. His model had to be God, not person, not ego, not possessions, but reflection. So he told the temptation to go get lost. He said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Jesus would not accept any interference. He knew the right place for his thought, speech, and action to be. And it certainly wasn't with matter or a belief of mortal mind, a false sense of reality. He had to do exactly what Mary Baker Eddy said in that letter. Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? And the more success one has spiritually, the more onerous will be the temptation. Because error tries to mock truth. The more success one has, the greater will be the challenge. Because you advance to a higher level in your spiritual understanding. So there will be greater stress, greater attempt to get you off track. But the more advanced one is, the easier it should be for you to automatically filter out the false belief. Filter out the thought that there is something besides God that has power, something besides God that is real, something besides spirit that is substance. We have to stick to the truth. We have to stick to what is going to be successful. The shortest path to success is not getting off the path of truth. Not being tempted by any belief in matter, no matter what form it takes. Whether it's food, control, sensuality, doesn't matter. You can't give up one centimeter, not one inch. Because if you yield on something little, the next time it'll be a temptation to yield on something bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We must reinforce our own thought, because like Shakespeare says, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Knowing the truth will set us free, not letting temptation wedge its way in to our thought. Can't let the salesman get his foot in the door. If we let the foot in, next thing we know, his leg will be in. and his whole body. In other words, the whole idea of interruption, interference, diversion, deflection, delay, stoppage, and then reversal. We can't let it even begin. We must be on guard all the time. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain to stand watch. He went further on up, wanted to be by himself, away from the disciples. What did they do? They went to sleep. The opposite of life, they practiced death. He says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? We have to watch all the time. We have to be alert all the time for any possibility of a diversion to creep into our schedule and try to interrupt the progress that we should be making all the time. We don't have to do a lot, a little bit, because it will compound. Don't be overwhelmed thinking that you've got an enormous amount of something to do. Do something small. Then do something small again, and again and again and again. Mary Baker Eddy says that the difference between success or failure is often how you use your moments. That's the smallest measurement of time. How are we going to use the smallest measurement of time? Is it going to be productive? The mind, based on a material brain, will wander all over the place. It is not structured to go forward in a systematic, compounding manner, because it's made out of the belief that matter is real. We have to cultivate substance being made out of spirit, not matter. There are no alternatives to sticking with God. Sticking with the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Incorporeal means there's no body. God is not a body. God is not a person. Divine means that it's perfect. Supreme means there's nothing higher. Infinite. No limitation. Mind. Creative ability. Intelligence. Wisdom. Knowing. Knowing that the capacity, capability, functionality, facility is right there. It's omnipresent. We have all we need because we reflect it from the infinite source, which is God. I already mentioned that spirit is the real substance and that it's flawless. If it's flawless, then it's transparent. And if it's flawless and transparent, then it is reflecting. That is what gives us the power to reflect goodness out into the atmosphere of thought. Soul is spiritual sense. That's the way we identify things. We can't identify things through matter because matter is not substance. Matter is not dependable. Spirit is dependable. principle is system and structure. As mentioned, no chaos in that. It is balance. It is harmony. No chaos. Life is exercising the qualities of God, living the qualities of God. Truth is consciousness, it's motive. Making sure that we are not being tricked by some kind of a mistake. And if we live those qualities of those six items, then we are at the point of love. Love is fulfillment, completeness, wholeness. Love is motherhood. We have to be nurturing all of the qualities of God before we can be fulfilled. Because love is defined as wholeness, completeness. Also the plan and design. We have to look at the end, because the end is at the beginning. Love permeates everything. We have to be cultivating everything as soon as we think about any situation that we want to see the unreality of, so that we can see the reality of completion, of fulfillment, of goodness. There cannot be any interference if we filter everything that we let in our consciousness. A popular image of Jesus is him knocking on a door. Well, that's knocking on the door of our consciousness individually. Are we going to let the Christ consciousness in? Jesus is a symbol, a representative of the perfect man, the perfect individual. Are we going to let Jesus be our model? Because Jesus was a representation of the Christ consciousness, the God consciousness, the perfect consciousness, the consciousness that is of the substance of spirit. And if we let that be our model, then we're going to watch. We're not going to go to sleep. We're going to stand guard at the door of thought. We're going to watch. Watch and pray. Constantly pray. What is prayer? Prayer is acting out the qualities of God. Letting the qualities of God be our action and thought and speech. If we get self out of the way, then it will be able to happen. We cannot focus on a problem. Jesus didn't focus on the problem when he was tempted. He focused on the solution. He didn't talk about the problem. He gave the solution. He quoted from the Bible. He told the temptation to get lost, because this is the facts. Then he would tell them the facts. We don't have to be concerned about a single interference if we will keep watch. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, can you focus no matter what comes your way? If we do that, we will chase away any temptation. We won't let it enter into our consciousness. We will guard our door, like Mary Baker Eddy says, guard it like it's a thief or a murderer. That's what we have to do with our door of thought. We have to guard it so that nothing can get in. No penetration of any kind. There's only one God. There's only one action. And that is not interference. It is the perfect action of God being God. God expressing himself through each one of us individually. And we're all unique. No one else can take our place. If we keep our thought, speech, and action in the right place, then we're protected. And it's a permanent, ongoing, continuous, without interruption, protection. And we will be on the infinite road of progress. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Concrete being a word that symbolizes permanency. If we are continuously progressing, we are permanently in the hands of God, protected by God, nurtured by God, and fulfilled completely. God is all there is. There is nothing but God, and that includes our entire being as a reflection of the perfect God. Amen.